You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
I'm a little excited about tonight. Praise the Lord. I think we're going to have some breakthroughs. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You like breakthroughs?
Yes.
Glory. Well, a few weeks ago, I was receiving an offering, and the Lord had me read the prophecy that we received from him in December 31st, 2017. And in that, when I did the offering, I talked about rejoicing because that's what he showed me when I was reading the prophecy. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight a little bit. And so in that prophecy, and again, if you don't have it, we have it out at the info desk and we can get it to you. There were some parts in there that the Lord talks about rejoicing. He said, for this is a day of much rejoicing. This is an hour, and it is a day of great rejoicing. It is a great rejoicing day, as the harvest surely is plenteous. So I think he's trying to get something across to us about rejoicing in this year of 2018. And so last Wednesday, we have prayer at noon on Wednesdays here. And Pastor was leading. And as we were going along, I heard myself praying out the word halal. And H-A-L-A-L. And so I heard that and I thought, why am I praying halal? And so I just kind of, you know, got out of my head and went back into prayer. And so while I'm sitting at my desk, I started going back to that and thinking, why was I praying halal? And then I heard these words, I miss your halaling. And I just started laughing and giggling at my desk. And I was like, the Lord misses my crazy praise. And so that's what Pastor Rhonda calls it. But the word halal, before I even get to the definition, you know, I've been spending some, and I think even leading up to 2018, the Lord as a body was requiring some things of us. And to go over into what he had for us in 2018, you know, there were some things that needed to be shaved off. There were attitudes, there were things of the flesh, there were habits, all those kinds of things that he wanted us to leave in 2017 because he has somewhere for us to go in 2018. So with that, especially the pastoral staff, and I'm sure other people as well, we were spending extra time praying, spending extra time in the Word of God, spending extra time praying in other tongues, and halaling. At least I was. I know that I was. And so in that time of spending time with him, he gave me something to do. And so I'm sure his intention was not to give me something to do for me to stop doing what I was doing when I got what he gave me. Did you follow all that? And so when he gave me that assignment, I, especially the last 3 weeks or so, I've kind of, you know, not just consciously neglect, but just got busy. Let's just say that. And so when he said that to me, I miss your halaling, I knew I need to get back to halaling. And before I give you the definition of that, let's go to Colossians 4:2. And so when he sent that to me, this is the scripture that came up to me. And it's Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And that word continue there is doing it until, not just doing it one time. Continue is a continual action, is an ongoing action. So we do it until. And so he said, continue in prayer. And today when I was studying this, I thought it was interesting that he said, I didn't miss you in prayer. He said, I miss you in rejoicing. And so have been praying and, reading the word, but not continuing in thanksgiving or joy or rejoicing like I should. So I just thought that was interesting. Continue in prayer and watching the same. And a lot of times we think prayer is enough. And we do need to pray. So don't negate that. But there are some other things that God is, you know, that adds onto that brings your prayer to pass. And so when he said, I miss your halaling, I miss your crazy praise, what he's saying is, okay, I got your prayer, but I need something else to go along with that. I need something to water what you pray. I need something to be on what you pray. I need some continual action on what you prayed in order to bring to pass what you prayed for. Hallelujah. And so in the Amplified Classic, it says, be earnest and unweary and steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. Say with thanksgiving. Amplify the regular amplify. Be persistent and devoted to prayer, being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. The Phillips translation says, always maintain the habit of prayer, being both alert and thankful as you pray. And then the Voice translation says, pray and keep praying. Continual action. Be alert and thankful when you pray. So the definition of halal means it's the Greek word ekeurista. It means gratitude, actively grateful. The language of being actively grateful. To act as an act of worship, thankfulness, giving of thanksgiving, thankfulness, the giving of thanks. And then and halal just is the highest praise. And so there's the other definition of it is to shout, to be radical, to be quiet. No. To animate. To breathe spirit, mind, and courage. To act clamorously foolish. To stimulate to courage. Perseverance, again, that ongoing action. To permeate deeply in such a way as to stimulate and enliven. Experience joy and gladness to a high degree. So we're to experience joy and gladness, but he adds, to a high degree. Not just, I'm happy. Can't you see that I'm happy? And, you know, and then people, well, I have a silent prayer, a silent thanksgiving. God knows. Yeah, he knows, but he wants you to say something. To a high degree, crazy praise. And so if you don't know what crazy praise is, Wesley, go ahead. That's crazy praise. There wasn't nothing solid about that, sitting down, being real reverent and all of that. That's crazy praise. And actually, as I was sitting at my desk doing the definition for this, in my heart it came up, look up dancing gorilla. And that's what we came up with right there. So crazy praise. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts 16:25. It's Acts 16:25. And it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to sing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And that word praises there, listen to this, to sing a hymn, to sing, singing of Paschal hymns were Psalms 113 through 118 and 136, which the Jews call the great halal. So at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang crazy praise in the jail, by the way. This is not the upscale jail where the people who got a lot of money go to and, you know, they get massages and all that kind of. These folks are in a cave and, you know, underneath buildings and all of this kind of stuff. And so the Voice translation of that verse says, picture this. It's midnight. In the darkness of their cell, Paul and Silas, after surviving the severe beating, aren't moaning and groaning. They're praying and singing hymns to God. The prisoners in adjoining cells were wide awake, listening to them pray and sing praises, halaling. If they were doing it right, like our little friend here, they heard them. Of course, they were in chains and all that, but even with the chains, even at midnight, even after being beaten, even after being persecuted, they were singing high praise unto God. They were rejoicing in jail. Hallelujah. Anybody been in jail just recently? Maybe I need not to ask that question. Hallelujah. You don't know sometimes these days. And Hallelujah. Psalm 118:24. It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Today is the day. 2018. April 25th, 2018. Today is the day that we will rejoice. We will rejoice. Paul, in a cave in prison, had to will to rejoice. Everything wasn't going in his favor. Everything wasn't going nice. People weren't being kind to him. But still, in the midst of that, he found a way to rejoice and sing praises unto God, and high praises at that. Paul knew something about rejoicing. Amen. Have you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11? In the deep, bobbing up in the deep, you know, killed thrice, you know, being stoned, all these different kinds of things. And I'm going, he makes me tired. All the things that happened to him. But he still found a place in his heart to rejoice unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore, with joy, not with complaining, not with worrying, with joy, I will draw out from the wells of salvation. With joy. Not with anything else. With joy, I'm going to draw out of the wells of salvation. Job 5:22, you shall laugh at destruction and famine. I love that. I've been in this scripture quite a bit here lately. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. Paul, in jail, was laughing at destruction and famine. And this scripture says, you will. This is Job talking. Anybody know Job and what was going on in his life? At destruction and famine, you will laugh. When the devil comes to get you and go, I'm going to take you out. Really? I read the end of the book. And the end of the book says that you're going to burn forever and ever and ever. And I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. I get the last word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. At destruction and famine you will laugh. And just like we talked about just a few minutes ago, that he who sits in the heavens laughs. And we're seated in the heavens with him. Amen. And if he's seated there and we're seated with him with it, we're laughing with him. So at destruction and famine, at lack in your life, at the devil saying you're not going to have enough at the end of the month, at the devil saying that your doctor bills are going to take all your money, at the devil saying your kids are not going to be successful, and whatever he's saying to you. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's raised us up together with him to sit in heavenly places. And from your seat of authority while you're sitting there, you know, Pastor Rhonda says that God casts out demons like this. He's the one casting them out. You just sit there and laugh as he's getting it done. You don't even have to lift a finger. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's on my side. Hallelujah. And if nothing else, you can't say anything. God's on my side. Glory to God. And so, you know, the last few Wednesday nights, Pastor Rhonda's been talking about, finding the plan of God and whatever dreams that you have, you know, submitting those things to God and get busy about doing what God's called us to do. And so Ashley's been teaching on this, and I think it was last Thursday or Friday I was thinking about this. We had an instructor in Bible school, Patsy Caminetta. She's ministered here before. And she would tell us because, you know, at the end of the year, everybody's trying to decide what they're going to do. They're graduating from school. And, you know, and the second year students at the time that I was there, everybody's trying to decide where they're going to go and where God's going to put them and everything. And she said, I have never made a decision, an important decision in my life, sober. We're all looking at her. She's got our attention, you know. She said, I always made my decisions in God drunk in the Holy Ghost. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. She never made a decision in her life sober. She always did it drunk in the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians 5:15, it says, see then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but knowing, but as wise, redeeming the times because the days are evil. Therefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if you wanted to know the will of the Lord about something in your life, maybe look at these next few scriptures. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And what ways can you be filled with the Spirit? Thanksgiving unto God, having joy. But even right here in this verse, it's telling us, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And so a way to get to know what the will of God is to get full of His Spirit, like Pastor Robert was talking about on Sunday, getting so filled to overflowing, it displaces doubt, it displaces fear, and what God has you to do rises up on the inside of you, and you become to know what the will of the Lord is. Hallelujah. And singing and making melody in your heart. I don't know if you've ever been around a drunk person, but whenever they get filled with whatever spirit they're getting filled with, they start singing. Have you ever noticed that? And they sing church songs. They're drunk as a skunk, and they're singing church songs to the top of their lungs. You know, they don't care, you know. And when you get filled, when you get drunk, you don't care. You don't have a care in the world. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't have a care either. Hallelujah. You cast all your cares over on the Lord, for He cares for you, and you're just drunk. Hallelujah. I'm just happy. I'm filled with the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah, because that's my strength. Glory to God. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. I got that bill in the mail. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. My car's making a funny noise. Ha, ha, ha. I think I'm getting a little tipsy myself up here. Hallelujah. Woo. Well, he said he missed my halaling. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Knowing what the will of the Lord is. One time I was driving back from Rhema, and I had this car that I bought before I went out there, and I don't know nothing about cars. And so my friend and I call ourselves going to get our car service, and they put oil in it. And so we got along about somewhere mid-Arkansas, and it starts smoking and all kinds of stuff. And the only thing we knew was to put more oil in it. And so we put more oil in it, and it just went kaput. And so we ended up staying in a hotel, and she and her daughter went on the next morning. I checked out of the hotel, and I'm there in my car sitting in front of the hotel. I can't move. And so I'm sitting there, and I had called some friends who were driving back from Tulsa, and they were going to pick me up. And so I just had hours sitting there in the car. And so the Lord said, well, you might as well just laugh about it. I went, no. Because where I was sitting in my car, there was the window to the hotel, and they're behind the desk, and they can see me. So I'm not doing that. And so I sit there a little longer, and the Lord said, you might as well just laugh. And so I scooched down where my face was probably right here to the top of the dashboard of my car. And for the next hour or two, we and him just had a really good time in the car. And I didn't care what other people thought or saw or what have you. So still didn't know how to fix my car. So we transferred everything out of my car to their car. And I went back to Nashville. A few weeks later, I was laying on my bed. And so the Lord had me start laughing again. And so I started laughing, and then it just popped up on the inside of me, have him check your oil. And so I called him Papa, and I said, Papa, can you check my oil? And he said, well, baby, we already checked your oil. We already looked at the car. And I said, if you don't mind, just humor me and check it again. He drained all the oil out of the car and put the correct amount of oil in the car, and I got to start driving the car again. I was thinking, wait, what am I going to do to get a new car? I just started another job, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's going to take a while to get all the money and stuff. And just be laying there on my bed, just spending time laughing and spending time with him, getting filled with his spirit, the answer came. Hallelujah. Getting the care of it off me, because I'm trying to figure it out in my head. Get the care of it off of you and just get slap happy drunk. Amen. Glory to God. So in this verse in Ephesians chapter 5, what stood out to me this afternoon, it says, speaking to yourselves. Speaking to yourselves. And that word speaking there, to utter, to talk, preach, say, speak, after, talk, tell, utter, to utter a voice or emit a sound. So it's no silent prayer. Okay. All right, to the silent prayers, unspoken requests. This seems to be sound to this to me. I don't know. To speak, to use the tongue. So he's getting more specific. To use the tongue or the faculty of speech to utter articulate sounds. So what is he telling? Open your mouth is what he's saying. So in joy, in thanksgiving, in rejoicing, we're going to have to open our mouths to do that. When you drink naturally, what do you have to do? You got to open your mouth. So when you're drinking spiritually, open your mouth. Not with, I don't know where the money's coming from. No, I'm a tither. I'm a giver. That's not my responsibility to know where it's coming from. God said he will rebuke the devourer for my sake. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. And you have to say the right words. Glory to God. So speaking. Hallelujah. Speaking to yourselves. To use the tongue or the faculty of speech to utter articulate sounds. To use words in order to declare one's mind and disclose one's thoughts. To speak. So he's telling us in this, we're going to have to open our mouths to do this. So so when we're singing, when we're praising, when we're making melody in our heart, when we're giving a thanks, speaking is involved in that. Not silent prayer. That's a man-made whatever that is come from. There's only even 30 minutes of silence in heaven. It's going to be a noisy, active place. Amen? And so here he's telling us, to even get specific, you got to use your tongue to talk. You got to use your tongue to sing, to glory, to rejoice, to be in joy, to greatly rejoice. Hallelujah. So I was watching this video a few weeks ago, and it's Reverend Mark Hankins. And he's talking about how your words affect you. And he was just teaching on Mark 11, 23 and 24, and then he goes into this. Go ahead, guys.
Now, a lot of church people don't like Mark 11, 23. Sometimes they'll get mad about that, you know. So then I always just take them to James chapter 3, verse 2. All James chapter 3, verse 2, 3, 4, 5. And it says this. It says, the tongue is a tiny member, and yet the tongue has the greatest influence than your circumstances. Come on, than even genetics, than your feelings. Come on. He said your tongue determines your direction, your destination, and even the quality of your life. So the devil knows he can't whip you anytime he wants. But if he can get a hold of your tongue, or if he can intimidate you to make you go silent, y'all still here? Yes. In other words, the tongue, he said, determines your destination and is a tiny member and boasts tremendous power. Amen? So now I learned this from Youngie Cho, Pastor Seoul, Korea, largest church in the world for many, many years, over 1 million people, product of American missionaries. He came back to America and preached 1975. I was there, and he taught on the power of your words. Well, I heard him again just a few years ago, and he preached the same sermon. It's like a 40-year difference. I thought, well, apparently I don't have as good as I thought I did. The Lord thinks I need a little repetition here. So he went back over it again, and here's what he said about the power of your words and the effect of your words upon every facet of your life. The effect of your words on every facet of your life. And here's what Dr. Cho said. He said, I was eating with a leading neurosurgeon in Seoul, Korea. Brain surgeon, the leading neurosurgeon. And the leading neurosurgeon said this, we have a new discovery in the study of the brain. We have discovered that the speech center in the brain exercises dominion over the whole central nervous system and the whole body. He said, that's a new discovery. He said, we've discovered that when we're doing surgery on somebody's brain, if we probe different parts of the brain, different parts of the body will respond. He said, but when we probe the speech center, the whole body responds. He said, so the speech center exercises a dominion over the whole body. So much so, he said, that we listen to the words somebody speaks before they go into surgery or after they get out of surgery. He said, because those words affect the success of the surgery and affect their whole body. He said, matter of fact, if a person says, I'm so weak, he said, then the speech center sends a message out to the whole body to prepare to be weak. He said, if a person says, I'm getting so old, speech center sends a message out to the whole body, says, prepare to die. If a person says, I'm so afraid, speech center sends a message out and it affects the whole body. He said, so we try to change what they're saying. Now listen close, change what they're saying. Now, why are you saying this? Because here's the way Dad Hagin taught it to us. He taught on faith. He taught on it so much, I thought he'd run out of sermon material. But Dad Hagin set me free from the fear of repetition. And so here's what Dad Hagin said. He said, I had read the New Testament through 150 times. He said, and one day I was praying and I was talking to the Lord, and the Lord said, did you ever notice in Mark 11:23, I mentioned the saying part of faith 3 times and the believing part only once. He said, I read the New Testament through 150 times and I never noticed that. He said, I never noticed that. So he turned to Mark 11:23. You think it would be easy to notice. But he's the first one I ever heard say it, and the Lord had to tell him. Apparently your reading and comprehension is not as sharp as you think it is. So he said, I turned right back to Mark 11:23. He said, and I read that and I counted. Whosoever shall say, one, reference to the believer. Believe those things which he saith, two, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And here's what the Lord told him. The Lord said, you've been cutting back on the speaking part and the saying part. He said, but you're going to have to crank it up. You'll have to do 3 times more teaching on the saying part than you do on the believing part, because my children are not missing it in the believing department. They're primarily missing it in the saying department. Praise the Lord. In other words, it's not enough just to believe God, and it's not enough just to have faith in the blood of Jesus. You're going to have to say something about that blood. You're going to have to lift your voice and say something about His Lordship. You're going to have to say who you are in Christ. Come on, you're going to have to say something about it. So he says, that speech center, come on now, exercises dominion. So Dr. Cho tells the leading neurosurgeon, new discovery, he said, oh, I know this long time. The neurosurgeon says, how you know, long time, new discovery. How you know, long time? Dr. Cho says, Dr. James. Neurosurgeon says, well, who Dr. James? Dr. Cho says, Dr. James, New Testament. Tongue, tiny member, control whole body. Come on now, your tongue. One of the most important things you can do as a parent is teach your children how to talk. Amen. In other words, fill their words with faith and hope and love and have a confident expectation. In other words, there are words that can literally poison and contaminate your body and contaminate and limit your future. But if you teach them how to talk, come on now, the words that you speak can literally open up, come on, and release God in your life and the ability of God, or your words can limit your life. Your voice or your words. In other words, your tongue. Praise the Lord. We have located the problem. It's not in Colorado. It's not in Dallas. Come on, it's not your kin folks. Come on, it's right underneath your nose. It's your tongue. In other words, your tongue or your words open the door of the supernatural. Y'all still here?
Your tongue, my tongue, opens the door to the supernatural. And in the beginning, he said, if he can keep you silent, if he can keep you from talking. You know, in that time that I was spending with the Lord and rejoicing and spending more time in the world, there was, it was around Christmas time. And so an avenue of Christmas money that I would normally get didn't happen. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll just take an opportunity to believe God. And so so I just started rejoicing and calling the money in. And said, Father, you know, there are some things I want to do for Christmas and do for family members and do for some other people. I just thank you that the money is coming in. And I just rejoice. Whenever it comes in, I just rejoice. And I get up in my office and start dancing. I get up in the morning. It said of Smith Wigglesworth that every morning he got up out of his bed and danced by his bed for 10 minutes before he did anything else. So I'd get up in the morning, just started, Father, I just thank you right now. I'm just rejoicing. And my eyes would be closed because I can still kind of sleep. But Father, I thank you. I am rejoicing. I thank you. I thank you that the money is coming. I thank you, Father, that I call it in. All my things are paid for. All the things I want to do for Christmas is coming in. Hallelujah. And so I was sitting at my desk one day, and I heard a ding on my phone. And I looked down, and it was my brother, but not in a way that he normally texts me. And so when I opened it up, I saw a dollar sign and a number and some zeros after it. I went, woo! So, you know, you get after it even more then because faith has been made sight. Hallelujah. And so, and after that, just different avenues that had never been opened up before. So I've gotten busy doing things that even the Lord told me to do, but I haven't seen his supply as I had been during the time that I was rejoicing. There are some other things with family members I believe in him for that I haven't seen yet. And so him saying, I miss your halaling, that means he wants to be with me. But even with that, the halaling is also opening up avenues, like he's saying, for God to make a highway to get things to you as you need it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So our tongue. All right. So Paul, you're going to have to move it along here. In the book of Philippians, he wrote the book of Philippians. He wrote the book of Philippians in his first Roman imprisonment. And in the book of Philippians, the main theme of the book of Philippians is joy in Christ. And the key words throughout that whole book is joy and rejoice. His testimony was, I rejoice and I will rejoice. So that's in Philippians 1:18. And he commands us to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice in Philippians 4:4. And in the Weiss translation of Philippians 4:4, it says, be rejoicing always. Always. So Philippians 1:23 and 26. He says here, for I am hard pressed. So he was going through a time where he had to make a decision whether to go be with the Lord or stay here with us. For I am hard pressed between the two, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. For being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and your what? Joy of faith. That's in verse 25. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. So he's staying here because it's better for us. It's better for him to go, but he said he's staying here for our joy of faith. He's staying here so that our joy, our faith will be made full. Amen? Of joy. Philippians 4:10. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. And so here he's saying, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. So he just didn't do a little something. He did a lot. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 8, starting over verse 1. In this passage here, Paul is talking to the Macedonian Christians, and there he's going to different churches, and he's raising money to take back to Jerusalem. And so he's talking to the Macedonian Christians here, believers here specifically. He says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Now, he's talking about taking up an offering, and this is what he's saying about the Macedonian folks. That in a great trial of affliction, when you're looking for money, you don't go to somebody who's in great trial and affliction, right? And an abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. When you're looking to take up an offering for the church in Jerusalem, you don't go to someone who's in deep poverty. That in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. So in great trial of affliction and in deep poverty, they decided to get in joy. And when they got in joy, they got so happy, they started giving. And it says they abounded in the riches of their liberality. Deep poverty. That means you only got lint in your pocket to give to nobody. That's deep poverty. Amen? You may have I think Pastor Rhonda did this thing a few years ago, that if you have change on your dresser at home or in your pocket, you're among the top richest people in the world. Deep poverty. But it abounded in the riches of their liberality. So in the end, their joy got them to a place of being liberal givers where they outgave everybody else at that time in giving to Jerusalem. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. And lest I should be exalted above measure, and we know about this. You know, if you go anywhere in the world, you know about Job's boils and Paul's thorn. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory. He's got someone hindering him, an assignment against him to hinder him for what God tells him to do. And he says, therefore, will I rather glory. Most gladly, he says, therefore, I will rather glory. That word glory there means to vaunt, boast about, brag about, make much of. parade, flaunt, acclaim, trumpet, praise, extol, celebrate. So he's saying that he's going to glory in his infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon him. So in the midst of him being hindered from what God told him to do, has God told you to do anything? Has he put a dream in your heart? Has he put a plan in your heart? Well, he did with Paul. Paul was to write 2/3 of the New Testament. He was to unravel the mystery of Christ in the church. And there was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, to stop him. That's why when you read chapter 11 in Corinthians, all that stuff is listed there, because that thing was trying to stop him from bringing abundance of revelation to the church that we walk in today. So he says here, I will most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory or be in praise and celebration in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And in the prophecy that we got in December, the word grace is in that prophecy. So I went back and read it today. It's in there 8 times. Walking in the grace, great grace, a grace that stands, a grace that serves, a grace that will cause you to resist the enemy. And today at noon prayer, we prayed for Cornerstone Word of Life Church, for you all, that you will be able to resist the enemy in your life. So a great grace comes upon this place to stand against and to serve inwardly and outwardly. On purpose, you will tap into grace, and peace and great grace will rest upon you. So it's interesting to me that interwoven in that prophecy, grace is in there, joy is in there, rejoicing is in there. But even when you look at scriptures in Peter and in James and in Philippians, he talks about glory a lot. The writers talk about glory. When they start talking about rejoicing and being joy, just like Paul said right here, that he would rather, he would be mostly glad to rejoice or glory in his infirmities. Rejoicing has something to do with releasing God's glory in our life. We were in noon prayer a few weeks ago, and while we were going along praying, I was praying out the word hasten. Hasten. And so I thought, well, that's odd. So when I got done, I looked up the word hasten. And it means to be quick to do something, move or travel hurriedly, cause something to happen sooner than it otherwise would. What were we doing at the time? We were rejoicing in noon prayer. And he gave me that word hasten. So afterwards, Pastor asked me if I had gotten anything in prayer, and I told him, well, I got the word hasten, and so it also means to accelerate, to quicken, precipitate, advance, catalyze, hurry on, step up, and spur on. Move, I can't read my own writing here. Move on to a high degree, excessive speed or urgency. So what I got from that was that when we rejoice, it hastens or causes things to happen more quickly than they normally would if we weren't rejoicing. If we're speaking, if we enjoy, if we are rejoicing greatly, it causes God to get on the scene to start doing some things for us that normally maybe would take years. But because we're rejoicing, God does it in a minute. Things that are in your body that the doctor is saying terminal. There's no hope. We can't do anything for you. I don't know. You have no other choice. Maybe greatly rejoice. Get the power of God on the scene. Hallelujah. I've heard testimonies when they've been given up and people start laughing. Now scientists are finding that laughter does it good like a medicine. I think that's a scripture somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If nothing else, it just, in the act of laughing, in the act of rejoicing, it releases things in your body that afterwards, if you didn't even get anything from God, you just feel better. Hallelujah. So there's something with grace. There's something with glory that's attached to us rejoicing. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial. If you're in a fiery trial, don't raise your hand. Which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Joy, glory, rejoicing, glory, exceeding joy, being glad, glory. 1 Peter 1, 5 through 9. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Again, if you've been grieved by various trials, I think the antidote for that, the Lord is trying to tell us here tonight. The genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and what? Glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with this translation, the New King James says, joy unexpressible and full of glory. Receiving what? The end of your faith. The end of your faith. Even the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. If you believe in God for something, let's go to James 1. James 1, verse 1. I don't have it written down, guys, so I'm looking to you. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Hold on right there. So we count it all joy. It's saying in this verse that if we let patience have its perfect work, so while patience is having its perfect work, what should we be doing? Rejoicing and counting it all joy. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In our joy, and our rejoicing is going to cause us not to lack. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, this is still in the same context of count it all joy. So if you don't know what to do, you got a decision to make, a life decision to make. It says here, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But above that, it says count it all joy. Rejoice. Get happy in God. And then you'll have wisdom. Ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8. He is a double-minded man and an unstable all his ways. So I think he's trying to tell us something. So with all of those scriptures, in Mark, it tells us that when we preach the word, that there should be a demonstration of the word. Amen?
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.